darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite,
delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be His ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Welcome to the Hamilton Corner this Friday afternoon. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. American Family Radio is the network. Hamilton Corner is the show. Abraham Hamilton III is your usual host, but I'm Walker Wildman, and I'm filling in for Abe this Friday. Abe's on the road speaking. Abe's a very popular fella. So many people want Abe to come speak at their churches, speak at their events, and so Abe's been on the road the past day or two, so he'll be back in the captain's chair on Monday, from what I understand. But the Hamilton Corner is the show, and I'm your guest host, Walker Wildman. We're going to cover a lot of news, a lot of information, a lot of things going on in Washington, D.C., a lot of things going on across the country. And, you know, we got some good news that we'll address, too. And so we'll try to cover all this today. I'm going to call it Fire Away Friday, which other people, other hosts do, Fire Away Friday. We're just gonna throw out a bunch of stories. We're going to talk about all of them and try to get you informed on what's going on in our country. And might I remind you that everything you hear on American Family Radio, everything you hear on the Hamilton Corner, this is all aimed at inspiring, at uplifting, and informing and equipping Christians across America to stay engaged, to stay informed, and to stay activated in what's going on in our culture, because we're supposed to be salt and light. And so that's what our goal here is on American Family Radio. A couple ways to keep up with the show before we jump into some of these topics is you can go to our website, AFR.net. AFR.net is our website. Also, you can go to Abe's Facebook page or YouTube channel. Abe's actually also on Twitter now. So Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, all three of those places you can go. And we haven't been blocked as of today by the social media giants of the universe. But nonetheless, you can go to those Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just type in the Hamilton Corner on any of those platforms, and you can catch up with the show there. And you can also watch the show on YouTube. So many ways to keep up with the show. The last thing I want to mention before we jump into the news of the day is if you want great resources to help build your Christian, your biblical worldview, your historical worldview on the history of the world, then you can go to afastore.net. AFAstore.net. We have great resources there, great biblical resources, AFAstore.net, all aimed at activating and equipping and activating the church in America to make a difference. So AFAstore.net. President Trump said this week that he might send more troops to the border. And after the break, I'm going to jump into some scriptures, so don't think I had forgotten about that. After this first segment, I'm going to jump into some of God's Word and talk about that. But President Trump said this week that he might send more troops to the border. And he's done this in the past year or two, and that is President Trump has partnered with state governors in sending troops to the border. And I think this is a great idea. I think it's effective, and I think it needs to be done, especially noting the fact that Democrats don't want to give President Trump any border wall money to secure our country. So one of the things that President Trump has left at his disposal is the military, and his National Guard. I want to play clip one here. This is President Trump in a meeting. He was asked by the media what he thought about sending more troops to the border. This is what President Trump had to say, clip one.
I'm going to have to call up more military. But our military, don't forget, can't act like a military would act. because if they got a little rough, everybody would go crazy.
Well, there you have it. That's President Trump there. And he said, you know, I'm thinking about calling up more military, but if they got a little rough, everybody would go crazy. Look, what he's talking about here is, and I think the military is a great idea, but what President Trump's talking about is we have a out-of-control media, a left-wing propaganda. They're the spokespersons for the Democrat Party. That is the mainstream media. They're the mouth of the Democrat Party. The mainstream media is. So what President Trump's talking about is if I send troops down to the border, I'm talking as if I'm President Trump. If President Trump sends more troops down to the border, and then they get in some kind of scuffle with a group of illegal immigrants, and somebody gets hurt, the mainstream media and the Democrats are going to go ballistic. They're going to start, you know, blaming President Trump, saying he's being cruel and inhumane, blah, 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 blah. So from a PR standpoint, it could be a PR nightmare in the sense that the left-wing media will somehow turn that on President Trump. And so that's what President Trump's talking about there. But along these same lines, I don't think we need to send a National Guard down to the border unless they are armed and unless they are able to apprehend. If the National Guard cannot apprehend and they cannot be armed, then it really undermines their capabilities. Now, can they still serve a purpose? Absolutely. They can advise and assist Border Patrol agents. Absolutely, they can still serve a purpose. I'm still in favor of National Guard troops going to the border, whether they're armed or not, whether they can apprehend or not. But if you want to add a level of security and a level of redundancy on the border, then you allow National Guard troops to be armed with firearms and allow them to temporarily apprehend illegal immigrants. And along these lines, you might say, well, Walker, don't we have this thing called, I think it's called posse comitatus or something like that. But it basically has to do with whether troops can enforce federal law, whether military troops can enforce federal law domestically. And I think we all know the answer to that. Posse comitatus is how you pronounce that. It's a little tongue twister there. But the Posse Comitatus Act, it was aimed at preventing the president at the federal government from using federal troops to enforce federal law and make arrests and use weapons in across the country. But here's what is legal, from what I understand. What is legal, and I don't think that really applies, that Posse Comitatus Act, I don't think it applies to our borders, because these are invaders. These are foreign invaders. These are not U.S. citizens. So there's a difference here. But nonetheless, let's just say that that act applies here. These local governors, these state governors, they can absolutely, that act does not apply to them. These governors can arm the National Guard, and they can give the National Guard the authority to apprehend. Yes, they can. So the Texas governor can send the National Guard down to the southern border in Texas, and they can have rifles, pistols, they can drive tanks, and they can apprehend if the governor so gives them the authority. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The left-wing media, the Democrats, even some Republicans would go ballistic if President Trump did this, if President Trump partnered with state governors to do this. And you're going to meet some resistance with the state governors. But nonetheless, you know, President Trump needs to send more troops to the border. I would leave like 10 or 20,000 down there at any given time to back up, to assist Customs and Border Patrol. That's a no-brainer until I get the wall. If I were President Trump, I would make a commitment. Until I get the border wall money, until we get the wall built, troops are going to stay down there. Troops are going to stay at the border to advise and assist Customs and Border Patrol agents. And the troops down there now are making a difference. The troops on the border now are making a difference. So President Trump needs to send more troops to the border, no doubt about that. You know, along the same lines of of this whole immigration crisis, and, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants flowing into the country, the White House allegedly or reportedly circulated this idea about, this is great, about sending illegal immigrants to sanctuary cities. You know, if they want to stay in our country, great. They can go to sanctuary cities. The White House floated this idea, and it got shot down at the Department of Homeland Security by some folks. But I think this is an excellent idea. And who can be opposed to it? Who can be opposed to it, right? Because the whole premise of sanctuary cities is that we'll take everyone. Anyone here illegally, come to San Francisco. Come to California. We will take care of you. So if they're going to put out that offer, then why not send them to California? And how this would work, folks, is, look, I think it's wrong. I think it's flat out wrong for the federal government to dump illegal immigrants into our cities without local authorization. I think it is wrong. It should be illegal for the federal government to bus illegal immigrants, criminals, into our cities and drop them off downtown. That should be flat out wrong, flat out illegal. That should not be allowed in this country. But that's happening right now. That's happening right now. We are having hundreds, thousands of illegal immigrants bust into the mainland by our federal government using our federal tax dollars. If this doesn't outrage you, I don't know what will. And they're dropping them off downtown El Paso, downtown San Antonio. The list goes on and on and on. But this has to stop. How does it stop? I think the White House should fly illegal immigrants that they don't have room to detain, should bus them, should fly them out to California and drop them off. Drop them off in California. This is a sanctuary state. Have at it. You leave California, you're getting deported. But this is California. They're a sanctuary state. You can stay here, commit your crimes, do your gang stuff, MS-13, do your marijuana, your drugs, whatever, stay in California. And you want to know the first person that would crack down on illegal immigration? California. They go, oh, no, we can't take all these people. No, we can't take all these people. If I were President Trump, I would say, oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can take these people. So that's what the White House circulated. That's the idea that they circulated. And they need to do it. They need to do it. And, you know, some say, well, that's political retribution. You know, if the Democrats did that, then you'd be so mad. Look, if conservative states were harboring criminals and thugs and gangs, I'd say drop them off there, too. I would say drop them off there, too. You get what you bargain for. And California, New York, and Illinois, and some of these left-wing states have asked for illegal immigrants. And so I say they should get it. Moving on here, continuing the discussion on lawlessness on behalf of the Democrats, you know, they're known, I call them the party of lawlessness, the party of crime, the party of cartels. I mean, they're just a bunch of criminals. The Democrats are a bunch of criminals. Why can I say that? How can I say that? Should I rephrase it and say, they're soft on crime? Doesn't that sound so nice? They're soft on crime. They harbor crime. They do little to stop criminal activity. This is the party, the Democrats are the party of lawlessness. And along the same lines, we're going to talk about this after the break, but California is trying to make it harder on law enforcement to use deadly force. California state legislature is trying to make it harder on law enforcement officers to use deadly force. Why is this important? What are the repercussions? What are the consequences? We're going to talk about this more after the break. The Hamilton Corner, American Family Radio, Walker Wildman sitting in for Abe this Friday afternoon. AFR.net is the website. We'll be back in a few minutes with more of the Hamilton Corner. We'll be right back.
shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio. AFR.net is the website. You can keep up with the Hamilton Corner on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just type in the Hamilton Corner on all three of those platforms. And you can keep up with the show, multiple ways to keep up with the show. But folks, I'll just be honest with you. The best way to keep up with the show is the website, AFR.net. Why do I say that? Because we own the website. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, the big tech, socialist, Marxist media giants cannot block us on our website. Why? Because we own the website, AFR.net. I would encourage you to go to our website. Sign up for our email alerts. Sign up. You can receive a weekly email of all things American Family Radio by going to our website, AFR.net. AFR.net is our website. And there, I'm going there now myself. When you get to AFR.net on the right-hand side, if you're on a desktop computer, you can click Join Our Email List. It's a big green box. Click Join Our Email List, and we'll send you a weekly update on what's going on at American Family Radio, send you all of the great and latest podcasts you can listen to, including the Hamilton Corner. So many ways to keep up with the show, and AFR.net is the best way to get uncensored, unfiltered content on American Family Radio. Before the break, I was talking about this California law that's going to really make it harder on law enforcement to do their job and to use deadly force. But before we jump into that, I want to jump back into scripture a little bit. I told you I would do this, and I always do on these shows. But I want to talk about something that I talked about a few days ago, actually last week, when I filled in for Brian Fisher's show, Focal Point, also on American Family Radio. But I talked about this whole idea. It's not really just an idea, but this whole subject of spiritual warfare and how we need to always be on guard. You know, spiritual warfare sometimes gets swept under the rug, if you will. It gets overlooked for whatever reason. Maybe because it's in the world unseen, if you will. You don't always see how spiritual warfare is playing out. You might feel it from a spiritual standpoint. You don't always see it in the physical realm. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But my whole point in bringing this up is that as Christians, we have to be on guard. We have to be on guard. This whole idea that we don't have enemies out there, folks, that's a farce. That's a hoax. That's a lie. We have enemies out there, both physical and spiritual, and we need to be on guard because Satan, what does Satan do? What is Satan's goal? To kill, to steal, to destroy. So we got to be tough on Satan. We can't view Satan as just a common enemy. We can't view Satan as just a guy down the street we don't like. No, Satan is bad. He's a bad dude. He's out to kill, literally kill, steal, and destroy. Not metaphorically, not spiritually. No, literally, Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And so as Christians, as followers of the cross, we got to stay on guard. Always stay on guard. Put it this way, as if Satan is out to get us. Be on guard as if Satan is out to get us. I'm not saying be dominated by fear. I'm not saying to be motivated by fear or anxiety, but to be on guard. Be ready. Scripture talks about, throughout Scripture, it talks about how to be sober-minded, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you, so on and so forth. So with this subject of spiritual warfare, folks, we need to be praying over our homes. We need to be praying over our children, over our spouses. We need to be praying over our family, our extended family. We need to be praying for physical protection against Satan, for spiritual protection against Satan, because he is out to destroy. And, you know, I've heard people say that, and this is not scriptural, this is just, you know, kind of a principle, but I've heard people say that, you know, basically Satan's not interested in those who are not following Christ. Satan's not really interested in the lost, if you will, because they're already, they're not being obedient to Christ anyways. Satan is out for the faithful. Satan is out to bring down the faithful followers of Christ. That's where he's busy. He's down busy trying to fight against the kingdom of God. We all know he loses. We all know he's already lost in the sense that Christ has already been resurrected from the grave. He's conquered the grave, conquered sin, conquered death. But the ultimate victory comes in eternity, and when Christ will reign forevermore. So be on guard, folks. Spiritual warfare is a real thing. It's not some far out, distant idea that it only affects the few. It affects us all. Back to this whole California legislature. And, you know, what this has to do with, just to explain this in layman terms, is California is trying to change the state statute when it has to do with the use of lethal or deadly force on behalf of law enforcement. And what qualifies as being a justified shooting, a justified use of deadly force. And this is very big, folks. This is a big, big deal. You might ask, what brought this about? Well, what brought it about is a shooting out in California. And, you know, these shootings are tragic. Anytime life is taken, innocent, guilty, whatever. Anytime life is taken, it's a sad thing. And that needs to be remembered. But I'm just going to set up this situation for you so we understand the context. So this young man, a 22-year-old unarmed male, and look, the media loves to include skin color. And it irks me, it gets under my skin. The media is obsessed with skin color. Why? Because the media loves stoking race wars. This fits into the whole George Soros left-wing narrative. But I'm not even going to talk about the fella's skin color because it's irrelevant. It's an irrelevant fact of the situation. Back to the story. Out in California, a month or two back, a 22-year-old unarmed male by the name of Stephen Clark was fatally shot by Sacramento police. What was the situation? And I've watched the video. I've watched the helicopter and body cam video. And what happened here is, first off, Stephen Clark fled from police. He ran from police. And the story doesn't mention that. Imagine that. The story leaves that out. Stephen Clark fled from police on foot. Well, they ended up chasing him on foot into someone else's backyard, so he's trespassing, fleeing, resisting arrest, fleeing police officers. It's pitch black dark, and Stephen Clark pulls out his cell phone, this is all on video, pulls out his cell phone and points it at police officers as if it's a gun. What do police do? They don't know it's a cell phone, they don't know what it is, they think it's a gun. Pitch black dark, they can't see what's going on. He does a motion like he's pulling out a gun. It's a cell phone. He points it at police officers. Guess what the officers do? They fire on Stephen Clark, and they fatally shoot him. So that's the context of this whole California debate. Well, what's going to happen here, folks? If California succeeds in this, and I sure hope they don't, but if they succeed in tightening down the regulations on when deadly or lethal force can be used, that's going to result in police officers, number one, not using deadly force when necessary. So what's going to happen there? The officers are going to be shot first. It's kind of like these awful rules of engagement that we use overseas when we're fighting foreign wars, where our military has to be shot at first. How not smart is that? How unstrategic is that? Our military has to be shot at first in most instances before they can fire their weapon. So that's basically saying, hey, military, hey, guys and women who are risking your life for our country, you basically have to be shot before you start shooting the enemy. That is an awful idea. And the same thing with this California law. California is going to make it tough on law enforcement. to use lethal and deadly force. And if the law enforcement officers do, even though it might be justified, California's going after law enforcement. They'll lock up these officers if these left-wing, lawless Democrats think that the officer didn't follow the law, this new law that they're trying to pass over in California. But I just want to note that we already have strict laws when it comes to deadly force. And I want to play clip three here. This is the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund president, Jason Johnson, on the California bill. And he's basically talking about how this all came about. Clip three, let's listen.
This is their response to the Stephon Clark case, which you'll recall involved a gentleman who ran from the police into a backyard of a home in dimly lit conditions and actually pulled out a cell phone and pointed it at the police officers as if it were a firearm. It was a suicide by a cop. And in response to that case and all the questions about that case, which have been largely based on false narratives that have been sort of perpetuated by the media there, the legislature's introduced this bill that it calls for police to take a much more passive approach in their use of force. And it's a first-time departure from a landmark Supreme Court case called Graham versus Connor. This is first in the country.
Yeah, so there you have it. That kind of lays out the ground, the update on what's going on in California. So, you know, we need to be, I'm fighting for law enforcement here. Because law enforcement, the thin blue line that people call it, they're here to protect our communities. And if we start disarming them, making it harder for them to do their jobs, making them second guess their good instincts, then we're going to have less safe communities. That's just all it is. I'm for tough law enforcement. I'm for lawful law enforcement. We have great laws on the books that protect innocent people, that protect people who have done no wrong. It protects against police abuse, police brutality. We have great laws on the books. So I'm all for law enforcement. And, you know, one simple note we can take from this is don't run from the police. And if you do run from the police, which I think is a horrible idea, if you do run from the police, don't go digging in your pockets and pointing things at the officers. And almost all of these instances where there's a officer-involved shooting, it's because, one, someone's resisting arrest, or two, someone is fleeing the scene of a crime. That's when these things happen. You hardly ever see an officer discharge his firearm with someone who is just standing there abiding by the law enforcement officer's demands. If you follow the rules, put your hands up, don't be digging around in your pockets, do whatever the officer says, then everything will go smooth 99.9% of the time. Things go wrong when you start disobeying law enforcement. That's the note we can take from here. Talking about law enforcement, the whole goal of the Democrats and the left-wing Marxist, George Soros and others, all the folks who want to have government control of everything, they're also wanting to gain control and access of our law enforcement agencies. We've already seen this in some instances, but the reason I say that is because we see many examples of this. We saw the corrupt leadership at the FBI under President Obama. They went after a political campaign in Donald Trump. That whole Russia hoax has been exonerated. President Trump has been exonerated. We're going to talk more about that in the last segment. But you see, Keith, you see this Kimberly Fox prosecutor up in Chicago, this Jussie Smollett guy, this actor, who staged a fake crime, and then he just got away with it. No consequences. Well, Kimberly Fox is a George Soros-funded district attorney prosecutor who is known to be soft on crime. Soft on crime. And so this is the whole plan of the Democrats, and that is to let criminals off the hook and to go after conservatives, go after opposing viewpoints. Another example is you have Keith Ellison, the former, I believe he's a former DNC chair, Keith Ellison, where he ran for attorney general in Minnesota and won. Well, this is the goal of the Democrats, is to take over our law enforcement agencies, take over our prosecutorial offices, so that they can go soft on crime and go hard on conservatives for whatever reason. This is the goal. And if you control the prosecution process, then you can let people off the hook who have done wrong, like Hillary Clinton, and then you can jail the falsely accused, like Donald Trump or Dinesh D'Souza or others. And that's the goal of the Democrats. Speaking about, I talked about the whole Russia hoax. I want to play clip four here. This is Attorney General William Barr, and he's talking about how he is actually reviewing the origins of the whole Russia hoax. Clip four, let's listen.
I am reviewing the conduct of the investigation and trying to get my arms around all the aspects of the counterintelligence investigation that was conducted during the summer of 2016. But obviously, if there's a predicate for an investigation, it'll be conducted.
Well, there you have it. That is Attorney General William Barr. And there he's talking about how his agency is looking into investigating the origins of the Russia hoax. The origins of the Robert Mueller / Hillary Clinton / James Comey. I mean, it's all corrupt. The origins of this political witch hunt, this investigation into no crime. Attorney General William Barr says we're looking into it. And I say, good for you. I want to see folks go to jail. I want to see those who broke the law, spied on an opposing political campaign, and lied to the FISA court. I want to see them face legal jeopardy. The Hamilton Corner, American Family Radio, Walker Wildman sitting in. We'll be back after the break.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Making a few notes here. Some stuff to talk about before we end the show. This is the last segment of the Hamilton Corner this Friday afternoon, April 12th, just about a week out from Easter, where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the one true Savior, the Son of God. And so, getting ready for that. And a couple things I want to talk about. And by the way, you can keep up with the show at our website, afr.net, and you can also watch the show on YouTube. Just type in the Hamilton Corner on YouTube. You can watch the show each weekday afternoon. A couple things I want to talk about. We're going to get into this whole Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, some call her AOC for simplicity, and we're going to talk about her whole, you know, climate change hoax. And one thing I've noticed, and before I jump back into this whole Russia hoax investigation, one thing I've noticed is that the Democrats historically have accused Republicans of being conspiracy theorists. And remember Hillary Clinton back in the 90s, early 2000s, she called it the vast right-wing conspiracy, and that is the whole Bill Clinton rape allegations, the fact that the Clintons have like dozens of people around their sphere of influence that have had mysterious deaths. And so Hillary Clinton, the liberals, the Democrats, they say, oh, those conservatives, those Christians, they're just conspiracy theorists, they're tinfoil hat wearers, they don't know what they're talking about, they're just stirring up hate and lies. That's what they accuse us of doing. Well, it turns out that the Democrats are actually the ones who are wearing the tinfoil hats. The Democrats are wearing the tinfoil hats. They're the conspiracy theorists. And how can I say such? Let me just mention two topics. Then I'm going to jump in back into this Russia investigation. The first topic, this conspiracy theory, unfounded, untrue, that they've been perpetuating for the past 2 to 3 years, is that Donald Trump colluded with Vladimir Putin. Donald Trump colluded with the Russians to interfere in the 2016 election and take over America. Vladimir Putin took over America through Donald Trump. Sorry, I get so worked up, I just knocked my headphones out. But so that was the conspiracy theory that that's the first conspiracy theory that the Democrats have been perpetuating. The second thing is this whole man-made global warming. Man-made climate change. And you notice the past few years they've switched from global warming to climate change. Why? Because the globe wasn't warming there for about 10 years. It was actually cooling. So we got to move on to something else. And they call it climate change, which the climate changes like four times a year, if I'm not mistaken. It's called seasons. We have fall, we have winter, we have spring, and we have summer. The four seasons, that's called climate change, Democrats. And the weather changes. We get snow, we get sunshine, we get heat, we get a little bit of both. That's called Earth. That's called the world. That's how things work. That's how they've worked since the dawn of mankind, since God created the heavens and the earth. And so they are, you know, pushing this hoax, this conspiracy theory of climate change. And so really the Democrats, folks, are the ones who believe and push conspiracy theories, which are not based on fact and science. They totally push propaganda based on falsehood. So the Democrats are wearing the tinfoil hats, and they're the official conspiracy theorist. That's the Democrats. Back to this Russia investigation, Attorney General Barr. You know, James Comey, this guy's a clown. This guy's a character in the sense that, you know, he's now saying, well, so to put this in context, Attorney General William Barr said last week that, first off, there was spying. It's a fact. There was spying our surveillance on the Trump campaign in 2016. That's fact. That's documented. That's not a conspiracy theory. Well, James Comey is now saying that there's a difference between surveillance and spying. That's his new headline. James Comey, you know, I think James Comey's kind of in a bind here because he kind of headed up this whole operation as the FBI director. James Comey saying that there is a difference between surveillance, electronic surveillance, and spying. And to which I would ask, what is the difference? What is the difference between electronic surveillance and spying on a campaign? It's the same thing. Anytime you surveil someone, and in this case, I would argue that they surveilled a political campaign and they broke laws in doing so, they lied to the FISA court in doing so. James Comey is trying to mince words here and say, oh, surveillance is not spying. Okay, James Comey, so you're saying that the FBI surveilled the Trump campaign? Whatever word you want to use, surveillance, spying, wiretapping, whatever. The fact is the FBI went after the Trump campaign. Why? Because they wanted Hillary Clinton to win. And if Hillary Clinton didn't win, they wanted a, quote, insurance policy to take out Donald Trump should he become president. That's what I believe. That's based on fact. That's based on court documents. That's based on the actual words of the FBI back in 2016. So, once again, Democrats wear the tinfoil hats. Conservatives actually base our theories and our thoughts on facts. Jumping down to this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, she is a thorn in the side of the Democrats. Why do I say that? Because Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is running the Democrat Party. She is a freshman congresswoman, and she is absolutely manhandling. And yeah, that's not a politically correct term, but I just said it. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is completely manhandling the Democrat Party. She is moving the rudder for the ship, if you will. For the Democrat Party, and it's astonishing to watch. But Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was in a congressional hearing on global warming or so-called climate change, which is a hoax, and she's talking about how basically America has blood on our hands if we don't address climate change. Clip two, let's listen.
I think what we have laid out here is a very clear moral problem. And in terms of leadership, if we fail to act, or even if we delay in acting, we will have blood on our hands.
Well, there you have it. I want to play that again, and let me just set this up again. I'm going to play it again, and here's why. Listen for the word moral. The Democrats love throwing out morality as an excuse, as a reason for their policies. But guess what? I would ask, what morality? Do you base your morality on the Bible? What do you base it on? Do you base your morality off the Democratic Party platform? Does George Soros set your morality standards? That's what I would ask, but let's listen again to clip two, Ocasio-Cortez and morality.
I think what we have laid out here is a very clear moral problem. And in terms of leadership, if we fail to act, or even if we delay in acting, we will have blood on our hands.
So there's Ocasio-Cortez pushing the climate change hoax, if you will, or the global warming hoax. And she says, we'll have blood on our hands. This is a moral problem. And you know who else uses that word a lot? That's Senator Cory Booker. He loves using, we have a moral obligation to do this or that. This is a moral issue. These folks don't have hardly an ounce of morality in them. They continually push lies. They continually push policies that are immoral, such as the homosexual agenda, such as government takeover of everything, such as let's let criminals go. Let's let criminals off the hook. So the Democrats are continually pushing immoral policies, but then they come back and say we have a moral obligation to act on climate change. And I'll just wrap up this whole discussion on climate change that Republicans got to, conservatives and Republicans need to stiffen their spine on this issue, and they need to rebuff Ocasio-Cortez and her other Democrats who are pushing this climate change government takeover of everything. We need to push back against this. And here's the argument that we don't need to use. This is the argument that we don't need to use. Well, that just costs too much. Well, that's just too much money. We can't do that. We can't say that. Conservatives cannot use that as the sole reason against these horrible policies. Why? Because the Democrats are going to come back and say that Republicans love printing money and spending money too, so yes, we can pay for this. We will just print the money, we will tack it onto our national debt, we will pay for it, because why? We have a moral obligation to do so. Here's the argument that we need to use. Here's the facts that we need to use, and that is that global warming is a hoax. Global warming is anti-science, it's against reality, and it's pushed by a false narrative that man, that humans, are causing the world to just burn before our eyes because we like to drive a car to work. That's the lie that the Democrats are pushing, and conservatives got to start pushing back based on hardcore facts, and that is climate change / global warming is a hoax, it is a lie, and it is only an excuse to have the government take over basically all the means of production, all the private sector, government take over all of it, have all these red tape and regulations. This is the goal of the Democrats. So we just need to get past this whole it's too expensive talking point and talk about the fact that the whole idea is based on a hoax, based on a conspiracy theory that has never been borne out by science and data. The data actually showed for 10 years the Earth was cooling, despite the fact that we had a record amount of, quote, man-made carbon emissions that were going out into the atmosphere. So that's what conservatives got to do, is get back to the base core fact that it's all based on a lie and based on a hoax. The other thing I want to talk about is this week, Julian Assange was arrested out of the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK. And what we had going on here, for those who don't know, aren't familiar, is Julian Assange is the fella who headed up WikiLeaks. Well, WikiLeaks was responsible for publishing a lot of hacked information, a lot of classified information. And so Julian Assange got out of jail he didn't get out of jail, he was actually he claimed asylum, if you will, at the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK. Well, this week, the Ecuadorian government, the government of Ecuador, said that they're no longer going to protect Julian Assange. And to put this in a, to give you an example of who this fella is, he was the one who released the hacked, or not the hacked necessarily, but the Democratic National Committee emails. He released those. He also released Hillary Clinton's emails, and he released the Edward Snowden documents from the NSA. So Julian Assange is responsible for publishing a lot of this information. And look, I'm not in favor. I kind of fall on the fence when it comes to Julian Assange, because there is some information that he published that I think we needed to know, such as the NSA spying on American citizens, bulk data collection, privacy abuses. So, you know, there are some things that Julian Assange has published that I think America had a right to know. The world had a right to know. There's other things that Julian Assange has published that I don't agree with, such as the Bradley Manning documents, where they just dumped all this classified information on the internet, all this stolen information from the Pentagon. They just uploaded it to the internet, unlike they didn't even discriminate on what they published, and some of the stuff was military secrets, military classified information that our enemies don't need to know. So I don't know what the motivation was there. I know Julian Assange would say we're for full transparency, but some of that stuff completely undermined the United States and our government. And most of what the government does, folks, and I'll say this, is aimed at protecting the homeland. Sometimes the U.S. gets tied up in abuse of power, if you will. But for the most part, a lot of these documents prove that our government is trying to protect the homeland. And so, but my point in bringing up Julian Assange is that we need to be careful about arresting people who publish illegally obtained information. Historically, and according to case law and various laws on the books, journalists who simply publish information that was given to them cannot be held legally responsible. The people who actually stole the information, they're the ones that should be held legally responsible. And so this should raise some eyebrows that the United States prosecutors are going after Julian Assange, even though he's simply a publisher of information, something to be talked about. The Hamilton Corner, American Family Radio. Abe will be back in the captain's chair next week. Stay tuned to AFR throughout the weekend. AFR.net is the website.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.